God. Today I'm continuing in a series in the Proverbs. And I wonder if you were like me, where you had these Bible verses up in your home. Well, I recall a Bible verse from Proverbs 3, verse 4 and 5, that said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." Now, you've probably seen that 1,000 times. You may have memorized it. But I want to tell you about it the 1,001st time. Because we'll never get tired of the truth of Scripture, number one. But number two, the reality of that Scripture is we all too often have a tendency to lean on our own understanding. That's why the Scriptures, the Solomon and his wisdom, and the wisdom of Scripture is reminding us, it's like, trust in the Lord, 100%. Don't rely or lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge God, and He will direct your path. So today I'm looking at the design of God, that He actually made us for that purpose, to trust in Him. And then the danger that goes with self-reliance and self-trust. And then the direction that God has put us on a path, that He will direct our paths, and that ultimately He does that through Himself, through the incarnation in Jesus Christ, who is the way. Let us stand as we read the Scriptures from Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 1, where Solomon, using this beautiful rhetorical device, this narrative, literary device, is talking to his son. So again, he picks up the theme. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh, and refreshment to your bones. This is the word of the Lord." Please be seated. I want everybody to repeat with me the 3 points that I want to make. I'll tell you what they are, and then I want you to repeat them. Design, danger, and direction. Say it with me. Design, danger, direction. We are designed to trust in our Creator. One of the songs that we sang, "Let all things their Creator bless, and come to Him in humbleness." God made us to worship Him, to trust Him. That great 4th century theologian, St. Augustine, wrote in his book, Confessions, on the very first page, "You made us for yourself," he said, "and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." What a beautiful summation of who we are as human beings. The fact that God Himself made us for Himself goes way back to the Garden of Eden. It's the very first words that are spoken in the first chapters of Genesis. He made us because He wanted to expand His love to a creation. Now, God didn't need to do that. He wasn't lonely. He wasn't lacking in and of Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this tri-unity where there was so much love and so much beauty in and of itself poured out. It's kind of like the love of a husband and wife. You know that our son Matthew just got married a couple weeks ago, and it was so beautiful to witness him and Claire exchanging their vows to cherish one another, to love one another, to forsake all others. That in their love for one another, there would be such a beautiful focus and a completeness as well. But think about this. As a dad, I'm hoping that we might see some grandkids down the line. And even though the love that a husband and wife have for each other is full and complete in and of itself, out of the fruit and abundance and beauty of their love and intimacy for one another comes life. There's a co-creation that is going on, and they welcome children into that broader circle of love. In the same way, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, whose love was so full for one another, and they didn't need anymore, but out of love created what we see in this beautiful world all around us. Let all things their Creator bless and come to Him in humbleness. Now, when the Scriptures speak of the heart, because the Scripture we're focusing on right now is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. The Scriptures here, Solomon in particular, is, if you want to turn the fan off, that's the one over there. Yeah, right there. I guess that the fan is getting picked up on my mic. So even though it feels really good, I got to say, it's probably not so good for the sound. Getting back to this, when Solomon wrote about the heart, commit your heart to the Lord. You know, we have such a kind of a clinical way of looking at things. We understand the heart to be this beating muscle in our chest, and it spreads blood throughout our system. And I'm sure that the ancients also had that understanding. But their understanding of the heart expanded way beyond just this organ. What Solomon and the ancient people were speaking about in the Scriptures was that the heart was the center of your personhood. That is, your will. The part of who you are that is deep down that determines your emotions. So Solomon could say in another place in the Proverbs, a cheerful heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Now, heart knowledge is more than head knowledge. In the Gospel of Matthew, specifically in chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus invites us to come to Him because He is meek, He is lowly, and of a humble heart. That's our Jesus, with meekness and humility in His heart. And then He says this most amazing thing, and it's part of the promise that comes with what happens when you follow Jesus, this Jesus who is so meek and lowly, then you will find rest for your weary souls. Do you want rest? The weariness of life? Do you want rest in the deep place of your heart and your soul? Look to Jesus. Now, Jesus also said that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and our strength. Now, when you speak about someone that you love, you're really talking about your heart, aren't you? It's beyond just an intellectual appreciation for that other person. It's beyond your preference. For example, you might say, I really, really like pepperoni pizza. I would encourage you not to say, I love pepperoni pizza. Why don't you reserve that feeling, that deep emotion of love for people or for the Lord Himself? So when Solomon writes, trust in the Lord with all your heart, he is saying he wants us to trust God with 100% of the inner core of who we are. All of our will and all of our emotions. That is the path of true wisdom, my son. Because when we are completely in love with God and we completely trust Him with our lives, then and only then will we really find the true path of joy. So we understand that God has designed our hearts to trust in Him. But then comes a word of counsel from the lips of Solomon. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. It's like Solomon is putting out a sign, a danger sign, and he's saying, watch out! The second point has to do with the inherent danger, then, that comes with taking matters into your own hands. Following your own heart, as it were. First of all, I want to say, lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. That doesn't mean that you're going to junk your intellect, or you're going to trash your feelings or your will, but that when it becomes informed by a complete trust in the Lord is something that you can use, but that you're not going to rely on. When you're leaning too heavily on something and that gets knocked out from underneath you, guess what happens to you? You fall. It's not saying don't use your understanding, don't engage your emotions and your will, but just don't rely on that, because the scripture says the heart is what? Deceitfully wicked. In other words, we don't even know our own emotions and our own will and our own real what's going on in our heart at times. So how are we going to trust that? Because it's like shifting sands. But God is saying, trust in me, because I am the one that you can fully rely on. So there's this danger sign. Why is that a danger? Because in fact, that is what we do. All too often, we follow our own hearts. It's what we do. It's like a Geico commercial. Yeah, it's what we do. And he's warning us not to do that. Why are we so inclined to trust in our own understanding and our own intellect? Well, it could arise out of matters of the heart. Do you struggle with self-pity? Do you struggle with fear? Do you struggle with doubt? These are true emotions of the heart, and they can lead you to bad places if you rely on your feelings and you go in certain directions. You know, and there may be good reasons. Why are you fearful? I asked that question. Well, maybe there was a significant event that happened in your life, and you thought that God was going to come through for you in a certain way at a certain time, and he didn't. And your perception is that in some ways he failed you, and therefore maybe he isn't trustworthy. So next time you say, well, I'm not going to rely on my trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust my heart. I know my own heart, and I know my own feelings, or I think I do, and I want to follow that because maybe there'll be a different outcome next time. You see, it's all about following a path. It's all about going in a certain direction. You follow the path of the Lord and trusting in him, or you can lean on your own understanding. Or maybe you have doubts that arise in your heart. Does God really love you? Does God really have my back? Does he really, truly care for me in the circumstances of my life? Again, if you felt or experienced disappointment in your life, it may be hard for you to trust in this God that you have doubts about. And then what happens is we start engaging our intellect, our rational faculties, our logic, and that becomes the overriding narrative then of our life, rather than the narrative of God's love for us, in which he is saying, trust me, I love you, and I'm going to work all things for your good. That may take time, and the fact is that most of us, me certainly included, Lord, forgive me, is that I'm impatient, and I want to get things rolling, and I want to start things by using my own understanding. Maybe you're having trouble in your marriage today, for example, and the witness of the Spirit of Christ in your life tells you that you have to die to yourself. That's God's wisdom. That is God's truth. And you have to die to your demands in your marriage, and you have to die to the expectations in your marriage. And you do that. And then your spouse totally takes advantage of you and rides roughshod over your feelings. And you become discouraged, and yeah, you become angry You said to yourself, listen, I trusted God's way. I was trying to do it God's way. And look where it's brought me now. Next time, when that happens, you're going to say, I'm going to look out for number one. But I want to advise you in this very specific area and apply that in any area of your life in relationships. Be careful, because worldly wisdom says, you got to look after number one. But let me tell you, that is not the way to a happy life. This world is full of stories of people who were looking after number one, and they lost their marriages, and they lost their families because of that. Now, Jesus then would say in that moment, what does it profit a man if he gains the world, but he loses his own soul? You know, that central defining reality of who that person is, the joy of life, the sorrows, the true humanity. You're chasing after the wind. You're chasing after money. And you get that, or you climb up that mountain, and you're looking around and say, is this what success is? Many, many people will tell you they get to the top of that mountain, and it's a huge, huge disappointment. Is this all there is? Really? And why is that? Because the truth is that God has made us for himself. And our hearts will never find rest until they find rest in Jesus. And God, who came in the flesh to love us. Now, there are these danger signs all around. And we've had this privilege of going to a bunch of waterfalls here in the area. How many of you have had a chance to just go out and see some of these beautiful waterfalls? In fact, early in June, we went on a camp out with our church, and we saw one of these big falls. Now, I hear in the news that people are falling, tripping, slipping into these falls at alarming rates, and a number of them have been killed. It happens every year. And the danger signs might be out there. Don't go here. Slippery rocks. Be careful. But they're looking for a rush, and they're smart in their own minds. Oh, I'll be careful. I know what I'm doing. They're ignoring the danger signs. We need to be very careful that as the scriptures put out the danger sign to us, watch out. Don't rely on your understanding and your own way of doing things, because it will end badly for you. Now, here is how it often ends badly for Christians. Okay? I think that our tendency in our Christian walk, as we walk the way, as we go along the path, which is the promise here, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we're along this journey, so to speak, along the path. And what we have a tendency to do is one of these two things. It's either law in our life or license in our life, where we just like, just tell me the rules, tell me what I got to do, and you just like kind of white knuckle down on following those rules, and you say, well, I got to do this, 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 and this, and often it's a joyless walk. Or we go to the other extreme, and it's called license. Well, God loves me, and whatever I do is fine, and he's always there to catch me when I fall. And so you give yourself license to just reject the counsel of the Spirit in your life. And you, whatever that besetting sin is in your life, you're like, well, you know, it's just in my life, and I've gotten used to it. Don't get used to that. God wants to take your character and make it more and more like Jesus. So I want to put out a challenge to you. Here's a little bit of an application for you for maybe this week. First of all, ask the Spirit for wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, what does the Scripture say? James, the brother of Jesus, wrote this by the inspiration of the Spirit. Let him ask. And God, who loves you so much, is more than willing to give you the wisdom that you're asking for. So if you're facing any challenge in your life you need wisdom for, just stop and pray. God, I need wisdom right now. Will you please give it to me? But also make that an opportunity for what I call discipleship or spiritual formation. When you are yielding to your besetting sins, you know, the typical sinful patterns of your life, whatever it is, you know, it could be gossiping, or it could be you know, anger, let's say. You guys fill in the blank. You know what your besetting sin is. Ask yourself, when you're in that moment of anger or sharing something that you ought not to be sharing or looking at something on the internet that you should not be looking at, say, why am I thinking this way right now? Why am I acting this way? Stop. You know how the railway, stop, look, and listen? I want you to apply that in your spiritual journey and spiritual formation. Stop, look, and listen to the Spirit's voice. Why am I doing this? You know, if you're looking at stuff that you ought not to be looking at, reading books you ought not to be looking at, what have you, are you doing it out of boredom? Are you doing it because you're in a place of discouragement in your life? Or maybe you're just mad at somebody, you're angry, and you're gonna medicate in any way that you want to. There are any number of reasons why we do the things that we do. We kind of like fall into our own way of doing things and fall into the sinful patterns of our lives. But if you ask yourself, why am I doing this? And then if you're discouraged and you're like self-medicating with this, the indulging of yourself, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Ask His Holy Spirit within you to encourage you in beautiful and healthy and wonderful ways. If you're feeling self-pity, man, we can go down that path six ways from Sunday. The focus is on self. In that moment, stop, look, and listen. And the wisdom of the Scriptures is, keep your eyes on Jesus. Run the race. Look to Him, because He's the author of your faith. And He is the perfecter. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Get your eyes off yourself in that moment. It's an action of spiritual formation. Take the challenge. I encourage you this week. Now, we've talked about that God has designed us to trust in Him. And we've talked about our natural tendency to kind of lean on our own way of doing things, which is dangerous. But the Scripture that we're looking at today focuses also on something called direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And then there's this follow-up thought. It's similar. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will, what? Direct your paths. So the third part of this is direction. I believe that Solomon here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying that God Himself will direct your path when you understand that it is God that is really pointing to Himself in the incarnation as the path and as the direction when He says, I am the way. Jesus Christ, incarnate God, came to this earth and He said, you're looking for the way, you're looking for the path. I'm not going to give you a bunch of teaching, the sevenfold path. I am the path. I am the way. So the third part of this message is direction. And we will never be able to stay on the path of God, that is, of completely trusting in the Lord, unless we have given ourselves over completely to the Lord, who Himself faithfully walked the path. Andy Stanley, preacher in Atlanta, has said, direction, not intention, determines destination. Did you catch that? Direction, not intention, determines destination. Now, if I want to get to Asheville today or to Nashville today, I'm going to have to make a choice when I get to 40 about what direction that I'm going to go. Is that not true? East or west? Where do I want to land up is going to determine what direction that I choose. In the same way, we must determine in our hearts the destination. Is faithfulness and trust in our God who came in the flesh. But this gospel highway that we're on, the path, the way that is Jesus, it's not like I-40. It is God himself who has made the way. That's the gospel. And we get on that way, and the destination and the direction is toward himself. That we're going toward Jesus Christ. It is God incarnate who came in the flesh to be that way. Jesus, who the scripture says is the wisdom of God, who came and lived and taught and died and was raised unto life. Jesus is the one and only way of true wisdom and of true life. Because we know that he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if anyone wants to come and find this life, the scripture says he must take up his cross daily and follow him. Because Jesus took up the cross. Jesus died on that cross to save us from ourselves, to save us from leaning on our own understanding and figuring out how we could save ourselves, because we never could. Only God could save us. And because Jesus Christ himself was faithful, now we can be found faithful. Isn't that hopeful? We're not faithful in ourselves, but we're faithful in Jesus because he is faithful. Trusting God is impossible in and of ourselves, my brothers and sisters. But when we have surrendered our life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the same power that brought him back from the dead is operating in you and operating in me. You see that? Hallelujah. We don't have to do this in and of ourselves. There is hope because the power is within us, the power of Christ, to conquer ourselves. Because ourself is crucified. I'm crucified with Christ. The scripture says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you want, at the end of your life, like the song that we sang, I'll fly away, to be able to wake up on the other side and look in the eyes of Jesus, and Jesus says to you, well done. You've arrived. Welcome home. He's calling us to trust in him completely and fully. And by his grace and the power of his Spirit in our lives, we can. And we will. As he brings us along the path, in all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. And that straight path leads from this life into the life of eternal presence with him. Hallelujah. Amen.